Law
18. Common sense.
A few examples of common sense. Friendly preseason matches. A referee officiating in preseason friendly matches is betwixt the devil and the deep blue sea. Friendly matches are a way for both the referees and the teams to ease their way back to fitness before the season starts. Many local referees have been praised for not sending off players for offenses that would have normally merited a red card. In such cases, the referee will have already spoken to both the managers before the game. If the referee feels that a player should not remain on the field of play, for whatever reason, the referee need only glance at the manager, who should then immediately substitute his player from the field of play. The removed player should not be allowed to return. This is a very controversial way of disciplining players, and will not be everyone's cup of tea. But it is a method of common sense used by some referees during preseason friendly matches. You will of course note that incidents of violent conduct such as fighting or headbutting must be acted on properly by the punishment of a red card and appropriate disciplinary report to the authorities. Common sense comes into its own during the officiating of friendly matches. Cautions are rarely given. The punishment can be for the manager to remove the offending player from play for about 15 minutes by putting on a replacement substitute. The number of substitutes allowed is usually unlimited, with substituted players being allowed to return into the action later in the game. This allows the manager to give as many of his players a chance to experience some game action before the season starts. It also allows the manager to assess any new players. There are many more facets to how a referee can use common sense in a friendly game. I have mentioned just a few. The referee who does not use common sense on such occasions will not be asked back to officiate next season. This may be controversial, but it is the real world. The referee seemed to be making up a few new rules as he went along, but it showed a lot of common sense. You don't want to see players suspended from friendly games. I suppose they could all have been sent off in a proper match, so I have no problems with the way the referee handled the situation. The referee was outstanding, and not just because he did not give us any bookings. He smiled during the game, showed common sense, and was a referee who was part of the game rather than the focus of the play. True comments after preseason friendly matches played at the top level in England. No other sport allows its officials such wide latitude in determining whether an offense has been committed. If it has had a significant impact on play, how it should be addressed. Should play be allowed to continue, even though a law has been breached? The laws of the game are there to give referees a basis on which to make their final decisions. The laws of football are so simple to write, yet so complicated to enforce. There's so much nuance and judgment. This in stark contrast with baseball, in which the rule book is quite long and complex, but can be enforced directly with little additional judgment. Then there's American football, for which the rules are even more complex, and also require a significant amount of interpretation and judgment on the part of the officials. That's why they have about 8 of them, and they still miss a bunch of calls. But that's another story. The opinion of the referee is the law. The law, on its own, is not the law. Celebrating after a goal is scored. In 1996, FIFA recognized that a reasonable celebration should be allowed after a goal is scored. At the lower levels of football, celebrations are part of the game and enjoyed by all. The referee must make a concerted effort to control excessive celebration. Referees should not intervene when a reasonable celebration is taking place, for example, when it is done quickly and without time wasting, or when it is done without the purpose of demeaning the opposing team or the spectators. Referees do not wish to be seen as killjoys. The scoring of a goal can be a very emotional moment, and celebration is just an automatic reaction. I know, because I've done it myself on many occasions. As a player, you just can't help it. It is not done with the intention to cheat, waste time, or to incite the crowd. That's just the way it is. The recent practice at higher levels, and on TV, of exaggerated and choreographed celebration could be seen as either unsporting behavior or a tactical ploy to delay the restart of the game. A good referee will quickly intervene when excessive celebrations take place, thus minimizing the need to discipline players. Preventative action is yet another example of common sense used by the referee. But any excessive time-wasting tactics done with the sole aim of wasting time should be penalized accordingly. The referee should not be a killjoy by penalizing simple bouts of enjoyment. Because football/soccer is about enjoyment. Referees should, of course, caution players who make provocative gestures that are derisory or inflammatory, or when they incite the crowd by their celebratory actions. The referee should use Law 18, common sense, when dealing with the celebration of a goal. Players who run off the field of play to celebrate should return quickly back into the field. The referee should not unduly punish a player who, by his momentum, runs behind the goal post after scoring a goal, runs around the back of the goal net, and then quickly returns to the field of play. Leaving the field to celebrate a goal is therefore not deemed to be an automatic caution. In such cases, the referee should again use their discretion and common sense and not resort to cautioning a player too quickly. In season 2001/2002, the FA board has now recognized that the celebration of a goal was an important and emotional part of football, and relaxed the earlier statement in FIFA Circular 579 of the 23rd of January 1996 that any player removing the jersey while celebrating a goal should be cautioned. Players will no longer be cautioned if they remove their shirt, but they will be cautioned for unsporting behavior if their celebrations are provocative and intended to incite or ridicule opponents or opposing spectators. Players guilty of excessive time wasting while celebrating a goal will also be cautioned. Some referees have more common sense than others. Pitch inspection. I'm not going to explain the ins and outs of how a referee should inspect the field of play before each game, but just to explain how common sense is also a part of the pre-game action. Many football/soccer pitches are managed by local organizations. Those organizations have a responsibility to ensure that the fields are fit for play, but the referee makes the final decision whether a pitch is safe or not. Most organizations accept that the referee will inevitably decide. For detailed advice on field of play inspection, see the Law 1 page. The referee uses his common sense when allowing a game to proceed on a field of play that is not 100% as defined in Law 1. For example, in the local Sunday morning leagues, a large number of the grounds are in countryside villages or just somewhere out in the wilds. Invariably, some of the line markings might not be as clear as they should be. Or someone has forgotten to mark out the semicircle, and there is no white line marking machine available. Referees will use their common sense. Let's be honest, if you, the referee, have traveled some 30 miles on a cold Sunday morning, and all the players are changed and waiting for you on the field of play, would you cancel the game because someone forgot to mark out the penalty spots? I wouldn't, but I know some referees who would. Some referees have more common sense than others. Matching shirt tops. Most competition rules state which teams should change their kit if there is a clash of colors. Most teams at park level do not have a change of jerseys. Common sense should be used when deciding which team should change. If the competition rules state that the home team must change, but the home team do not have a change of jerseys, but the away team does have a change of kit, then obviously, the referee should ask the away team if it would mind changing. At the very worst, one team could turn their jerseys inside out. This very often serves the same purpose. Players will generally be happy to oblige where they can, because it is difficult for them to discern colleagues when both teams have similar colored tops. Of course, the referee and his assistant referees should aim to wear shirts of a similar color and style. This is important, as it establishes initial credibility for them as a team, and it also demonstrates their kinship and separates them from other players on the field of play. Throwing in the towel. It has also been sometimes noticed that when a team has a player who is capable of throwing the ball a large distance, strategic towels are placed around the field of play to enable this throwing player to dry his hands and gain extra purchase to enable the ball to be thrown further into the penalty area during wet weather. I see this as an unfair advantage and against the spirit of the game. Burst ball, in play or out of play? Question: if the ball is bursts on its way towards the goal whilst a player is taking a penalty kick, what action should the referee take? Answer: Law 2, the ball states that if the ball bursts or becomes defective during the course of a match, the match is stopped. The match is restarted by dropping the replacement ball at the place where the ball became defective. If the ball was out of play when damaged, restart as normal, e.g. goal kick, throw in, etc. During the taking of a penalty kick, the ball becomes in play as soon as it is touched and moves forward. In this example, the ball was on its way and therefore in play. The correct restart by the letter of the law should be a drop ball at the place where the ball became defective during the taking of a penalty kick. But in my opinion, if the ball bursts on impact without actually moving forward, then the ball is not in play. Law 2, the ball, states, if the ball bursts or becomes defective whilst not in play at a kickoff, goal kick, corner kick, free kick, penalty kick, or throw-in, the match is restarted accordingly. It would be very difficult for the referee to identify exactly when a ball bursts. Did it burst immediately after it has been kicked, or did the impact of the kick itself burst the ball? In my opinion, it is best to give the benefit of the doubt to the kicker and retake the penalty kick. The fact that the impact of the boot on the ball is almost certainly the catalyst for making the ball burst. The fact that the ball bursts immediately or just after, not irrelevant. The moment of impact occurs out of play, and therefore the kick should be retaken. If the ball hits the goalpost or crossbar, bounces back into the field of play, and then bursts, the restart should be a drop ball at the place where the ball burst, or if following the rebound, the ball bursts in the goal area, the dropped ball should be taken place on the goal area line parallel to the goal line at the point nearest to where the ball burst. In this instance, it was the crossbar, and not the kicker, that was the catalyst in making the ball burst, whilst it was in play after the penalty kick had been taken. If the ball burst when it hits the crossbar or one of the goalposts, A. The referee should stop the game, asks for another ball, and restart the game by dropping the ball. B. If the penalty kick is being taken in additional time, see Law 7, and the ball strikes the goalpost and slash or crossbar and bursts, the game ends.